Ruth, page number is 283, chapter 2 today. About 3 weeks ago, I remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, we looked at chapter 1. We looked at the life of Naomi and her family, including Ruth. And we're moving to chapter 2 today. I'm not going to read a whole chapter, but I'm going to stop somewhere like a verse 16. I'd like to read to you this morning. This is the word of God. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worth man of a clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And said to her, she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went to glean in the field after reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to the young man who was in charge of all the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she had continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, in whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me, spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not none of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and then eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed through roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, say, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we came before your word. Every time we read, every time we think about you are speaking to us, our hearts are trembling, and sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't know what to do. I just feel that you are here with us, and you are speaking to us. That's why my heart is trembling this morning. Would you be with us? Would you clearly speak to us from your word, and help us to understand your mercy and grace? We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. While I was reading a couple of books for my sermon study this week, I came across an interesting statement regarding Naomi. Caroline Custis James, that's her name, Caroline Custis James, wrote a book titled The Gospel of Ruth, an interesting name. In her book, she said she describes Naomi as a female Job in the Bible. Now, I think that she's right. As Job lost everything, including his children and 7 sons and 3 daughters, Naomi also lost everything. And Naomi and her husband, with 2 children, left their own country, the promised land, and moved to Moab, the land of enemy. And everyone died there in Moab, except Naomi. And Naomi and her husband expected a better life in Moab. However, it ended up with nothing but helpless. What a sad story is it? Have you ever been in a similar situation? Nothing but grief, despair, hopelessness. I'm pretty sure you have sometime in your life. Then what would you say to God if you're in the same or similar situation like Naomi? What would you say to God? Well, we don't know what Naomi said to God, but here one thing. We know what Naomi did after all the disasters. She decided to return to God. She had to realize that she had a wrong map in her hands. That was my sermon a few weeks ago. Instead of trusting God and following God's direction, Naomi and her husband went to their own direction. They want to go their direction in their life. Now here once Naomi realized that she had a wrong map in her hands, there was nothing but only one choice, only right choice. Returning to God. Now here, however, there was a minor problem with Naomi. Now, both daughters-in-law wanted to go with her. That's very interesting to read their story. The problem was that they were Moabite women. Now, according to the Moses' law, Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. So they can't come. Now going back to Israel with the 2 Moabite women would create more troubles for both Naomi and her daughters-in-law. So Naomi tried not to go with them. And actually it was better for them, the Moabite women, to stay in their home country, enjoy their life. They don't have to go somewhere. Instead of moving to a land of Israel. One of Naomi's daughters-in-law, Orpah, decided to stay. We knew about that. Yet, the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, refused to stay. It was so strong. She wanted to return with Naomi. This is what she said. Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Do not urge me to leave. Or to return from following you. Please don't do that. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And this is very strong next. Your people shall be my people. And your God is my God. So, please, don't ask me to stay here. I will go with you. What a powerful statement it is. She said, your God is my God. Now Ruth knew that Naomi didn't have anything. No money, no house. Even we can say there is no hope. Even Naomi said in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, I went away full. I was full. But the Lord has brought me back empty. She said nothing there. The Almighty God has brought calamity upon me. Ruth witnessed all the disasters, the tsunami swept away, happened to Naomi's life, including her, Ruth, herself. But interestingly, she didn't want to go back to her own people, her gods or faith, because she found God. That's why she said, "Your God is my God." All bad things happened to her, right? She was young, looking for a better life, but all bad things happened to her. After all bad things, this is what could she say? "Your God is my God." By carefully looking at, reflecting on Ruth's decision, I see that she always chose to the narrow gate, where it seemed that all the streets and roads led her to the destination of no hope, hopeless. I'm sure that people must have told her, hey, what are you doing? Do you think that you can find a job there? No. Do you think that the people would welcome you? No, we are enemies. Remember that. Does your mother-in-law have any money to take care of you? No. There is no hope, no future. It's not safe for you. Look at your other sister-in-law. She went back. She's with us right now. Please do not go. However, no one was able to stop her. No one was able to change her mind because of her faith in God. No matter what hardships she faced, no matter what happened to her life, the Lord is her God. Now, let me ask you, how about you and me? I am pretty sure that sometimes, or many times, our lives just like would become like Ruth's in her life, losing everything, nothing remains in our hands. Then can you still say like her, "God is my God, still my God"? Can you still say after all the bad things happening to you, can you say, "Jesus is my Lord"? Finally, Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem, and the question is, did their lives get better there? No, not at all. Although these two poor ladies came to Bethlehem, actually returned to God, it seemed that nothing had changed. They might have expected that their life would be better, much better in Bethlehem. However, the reality wasn't different than that of in Moab. They were still struggling with many hardships. They didn't even have money to buy food. And people were talking about that, yes, but no one tried to help them out, based on our text. Then here Ruth again comes to the main stage in chapter 2. In the middle of the hopeless situation, nothing there, she decided to go out to the field to pick up some leftover barley on the field. Now, she said, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him whose sight I shall find favor." Very interesting wording here. Let me do a reality check on her reaction or action in faith. We all know that she was a Moabite woman, right? And she must have heard many, many war stories between the Moabites and the Israelites fighting and killing each other. And then she knew that she was not able to be part of the community. And she didn't even have any personal connections to work together except her mother-in-law. She couldn't do anything. She didn't have a husband or other men to protect her. That's her reality. Therefore, based on her reality check, this is nothing. Therefore, It wasn't a good idea for her to go out alone to get some food. No. Let's think logically. No. She knew that she might get physically abused. In worst case scenario, she might get killed. Lose her life. Now, when I thought about her situation, seriously, I thought about her situation. I could literally felt that my heart was trembling. Was she scared? I think so. I'm sure she was really scared of going out. Maybe she must have felt that her heart was beating and trembling so hard. If it was possible, she didn't want to go out, maybe. If I were in that situation, don't blame me, going into the field and surrounded by strangers and enemies of my people, now think about that, oh, I need to go back to my country. However, Ruth took a big risk instead of taking easy way out. She decided to step forward with her trembling heart. It's very strange to me. When I was in college in South Korea, yeah, years ago, I got my wisdom tooth removed. It was a bad experience. Because of my painful bad experience, I didn't go to the dentist until 2006, almost 17 or 18 years. I didn't go to the dentist. In 2006, when we lived in Anchorage, Alaska, Jenny and I, we went to the dentist for regular checkup and cleaning. For many years, we didn't have insurance because we were students. But 2006, finally, we had an insurance. People told me, you need to go check up your teeth. So we did it. Unfortunately, my second visit wasn't good either. So I decided not to visit any dentist anymore entire my life. Done deal. Then about a month ago, I found out that I have to remove my wisdom teeth, this time two of them. Since I had two bad memories of my dental visits, since I didn't want to go, I didn't want to go. But there was no choice. I had to remove my wisdom teeth as soon as possible. That's what the doctor told me. Now, the past Wednesday was the day, which is 3 or 4 days ago. I went to the oral surgeon. And then while I was filling out the paperwork there, I noticed that my hands were shaking. Shaking together. Yes, I was so scared and nervous because of my previous experiences. It was so bad. After finishing my paperwork, one of the nurses came to me and checked up all my physical and my blood pressure. Then, have you ever heard about white coat hypertension? Maybe, right? Now, as soon as you see a doctor, your blood pressure just goes up. I used to think that it was a myth. Oh, you got to be kidding me. No, it's not going to happen to me. But it was true. When the nurse checked up my blood pressure, unfortunately, my blood pressure was out of control. It's out of my imagination. Wow. And after 30 minutes later, they checked it again and again, the total three times. The result was the same. I tried to calm down myself. James, you can't do it. Oh, it's okay. You're a man. But it didn't work. Finally, the oral surgeon came to me and said, James, I'm sorry. We need to reschedule your surgery. Go home, relax, and come back next week, which is tomorrow. A good thing is, when I came home, my blood pressure became normal, just normal, peaceful. And bad thing is, Jenny has been laughing at me the whole week. Think about Ruth. How did Ruth feel about her situation? When she decided to go out to the field to get something to eat by herself. When I thought about Ruth and her complicated situation, I felt the same feeling that I was sitting at the dentist. I felt worried and scared, and my heart was beating. It must have been a scary moment for her. She must have felt that her heart was trembling. My heart is trembling right now. Then my question is, why? Why did she decide to go out to the field? Why? Because she was so hungry? Nothing to eat? Because she was so brave. I don't care about the people outside. I'll fight. Or because she wanted to take care of her mom, Naomi. Maybe all the cases were true. But there were not the main reasons for her to go out. Decided to go out to the field. It is interesting for me what Ruth said to Naomi. This is what she said in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Now, she didn't say, Mom, let me go outside and find something to eat. I'll just grab something. Mom, don't worry. She didn't say that way, but she said, Mom, let me go out to glean something, find food behind someone. She didn't know anybody there, but she said, behind someone in whose eyes I might find favor. Ruth's wording here in verse 2 was so strong and powerful for me. More than anything else, she wanted at that point, more than anything else, she wanted God's favor and God's grace in her life. Nothing else. And she believed it. One of the books that I read about Ruth, and he describes verse 2, her situation like this. When Ruth volunteered to go out to glean to provide food for the two of them, she was making herself vulnerable, not just for her own sake, but for Naomi's too. And he said, she was stepping out in faith that someone out there was a generous, God-fearing people, a person, a landlord, who would make room for these two people. Quoted by Ian Duguid, Reform Expository Commentary. By reading all these things, I see that Ruth was a woman of faith. She is a woman of faith. God did not give her $1 million to buy everything. No. We see that her life was getting worse every day. On top of that, she had an old lady at home to take care of. Once again, by looking at the outside of her life, Ruth was dealing with many troubles after troubles, terrible situations every day. It didn't look good. However, she had something in her heart. In the middle of darkness, Ruth had faith in God. Although she didn't have money to buy food, although she didn't have anything to share it with people, yet she had faith in her heart, faith in her, within God, so that she was able to step out in faith. She believed that someone out there, he or somebody will help her. There was a generous, God-fearing man out there who will make room for them. I'm pretty sure that she must have felt scared and depressed and worried. Yet, this is what I've found from her story and her lifestyle. She always overcame her fear, worries, troubles with her faith in God. That's her faith. That's why she said, I'll go out, find something after somebody in whose sight I shall find favor, God's grace. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? In the middle of darkness, nothing there, she was able to see the sun rising over the horizon. More than anything else, she was looking for the grace of God with tears in her heart. And she knew that it's out there. By reading her story, I thought about what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, very narrow. And the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. How many of us are looking for narrow gates? Whenever Ruth faced some difficulties, she always overcame her fear and troubling heart with her faith in God. She was a woman of faith. She did not just sit around and waiting for something happening, but she always took the initiative to step forward in faith. She didn't find and didn't take the easy way out. She always chose the narrow gate. Then we should ask the following question. Where was God? It seemed that God didn't do anything. While Ruth was taking all her faith in action, she tried her best to go for it and do something. We see the missing God here. Where is God? But in chapter 2, verse 7, we finally see that God wasn't far away from Ruth. Verse 3, our text says, so she set out and went and gleaned in the field after reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan Elimelech. Now maybe some people read this particular text and as it follows, Hey, she accidentally came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. It's just accident. Well, but we have to remember that there is no accident. In the Old Testament and New Testament, there is no concept of accident or faith or luck. Nothing will accidentally happen in the eyes of God. The Almighty God always directly controls the time and the events, everything in the history of a human being. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, God is in complete control of everything. By reading Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3, we notice that the intention of the writer of this book is God was in charge of their life. God was always deeply involved in the life of Ruth. And everything happened to Ruth was not an accident, but it was God's divine plan, His divine plan. She didn't know about Boaz before. She did not intend to visit his field at all. Yes, Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. That means who was able to rescue both Naomi and Ruth. However, it was not their intention, their plan to meet him. I can't say that whether it was the divine plan. Ruth came to the field belonging to Boaz in God's perfect time. Now, when Ruth and Naomi were suffering and then struggling with their lives, God did not just disappear from the scene. I found another passage from Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "So Naomi returned to Ruth, returned and Ruth and Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." I don't think that it was an accident for them to return to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. But it was God's perfect time. God did not abandon these two poor ladies. Rather, He had carefully planned and held them in His arms to bring them to the perfect time, divine time schedule. God was taking care of them all the time, all the way. I don't think that New Hope Christian Reform Church is here on Francis Avenue by an accident. God has established His beautiful church, His beautiful church with His beloved people on Francis Avenue more than 15 years ago because it was God's plan. It was God's right time. With God's divine plan, New Hope Church was and is and will be here on Francis Road. Francis Avenue to share God's love, to preach Christ. That is God's plan. I don't think that it was an accident that you and me, we have come to New Hope Church to worship God. As Ruth became a part of God's redemptive history, we are here today to be part of God's redemptive history. We are His people. We are His people. Who can imagine that? James Kim, who was born and raised as a Buddhist, became a pastor of the Christian Reformed Church. I didn't know that. When I was in South Korea, when I was little, I think age like second grade, third grade, one of the churches in South Korea had a vacation Bible school. I went there. Same story like Samuel G, same thing, because vacation Bible school means a lot of candy, sometimes ice cream. Whoa. So I went there. I found a very interesting thing because they always pray. But I was a very faithful Buddhist. I noticed that after prayer, they always say, "We pray in Jesus' name." So I was there, and then after lesson, they were talking about Moses' story and everything, listening and watching all the things. And the teacher said, "Let's pray." So we prayed, and then after prayer, she said, "We pray in Jesus' name." You know what I said? Right after they sing in Jesus' name, I said, "Buddhist! Buddhist! Glory Buddhist!" 3 times. I did it. The amazing thing is, no one told me that, "Hey, you go home! We don't like you!" No one did it. They shared their ice cream and cookies and candies with me. I did bad things at church. Who can say Buddhist in the church? Then I became a pastor of the Christian from church. It's kind of awkward. It's very interesting. Who can imagine that I'm here today with you to preach Christ? How can it be? No. I'm not qualified. But I know that it's all about God's divine plan and His grace in Christ. That's what I have found in the life of Ruth. We all know that what happened to Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. This is fascinating. I'm not going to read 18 and 19, but 20. It's all about history. Names, telling names of everybody here. And in verse 21, 421, Salmon fathered Boaz. We know Boaz. And Boaz fathered Obed, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. It's kind of hitting. Yes! By stepping in the land of Boaz with God's plan and God's divine work, Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David, the most famous king in the Bible. Can you imagine that? She was nothing. She didn't have anything, but all of a sudden, God used her, stepping her into the land of Boaz, and turned out to be, she became the great-grandmother of David. Wow. And also her name is found in the genealogy of Christ who died on the cross. How can it be? The story of Ruth is related to the story of Jesus Christ today. God came to this world in human form and His name is Jesus Christ Emmanuel. And Paul says, God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of our faith in Christ, we became the children of God like Ruth. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are now part of God's redemptive plan in Christ. Nothing is an accident, but everything is in God's perfect plan and time in Christ. Did you see what I'm trying to say here? When we moved to Spokane, we moved into the parsonage very next to us, I found a very interesting wall frame on the wall downstairs. It starts like this. One night I had a dream. And it goes in the middle of this poem. Lord, You said that once I decide to follow You, You would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome time in my life, there is only one set of footprints. What happened to You? I don't understand why in times when I needed You the most, You should leave me. And the Lord replied, My precious, precious child, I love You. And I would never, never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I see the picture of Ruth in this poem. I see the picture of myself in this wall frame. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. This is what Ruth said when she met her kinsman, Redeemer Boaz. Chapter 2, verse 13. I have found favor in Your eyes, my Lord, for You have comforted me and spoken kindly to Your servant. though I am not one of your servants, though I am not one of your people. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the pressure of life. Sometimes we see that our life gets harder every day, spinning out of control. Sometimes we heard people saying, hey, I know that you are Christian, but where is your God now? Where is your God when evil things happen to you? Where is your God when you need Him the most? Is God listening to your prayer? How about this? Where is Christ in your life? But like Ruth, we know one thing. We have found God's favor in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We find true comfort, as Ruth said, "You have comforted me." We find true comfort in Christ. Tomorrow is the last day of 2012. Are you ready to take the initiative in faith like Ruth? Not just sitting around and waiting for provision drop down from heaven. Not just worrying about the future, or situation, and hardships. Not just complaining or grumbling about things that are happening to you. The same way the church. Are we ready to take the initiative in faith for our church in 2013? Are we ready to go to the narrow gate with Christ? There is nothing accident in God's eyes. As God has established this church many years ago, as God has brought you and me here to New Hope to worship God, God will be always with us in 2013 and the following years. Then are we ready to step forward in faith? Don't be afraid getting tired or discouraged. You know what? Because our Lord Jesus Christ will always carry you and me. He will be with us. Just give your heart, your life, your passion, everything to the Lord. Like Ruth. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we see that so many things were happening in the life of Ruth that she didn't want, that she didn't want to have any experiences. But we want to say thank you because of her life. We also see that she always made a big decision because of her faith in you. Dear Heavenly Father, 2012 is almost over. We have one more day. Maybe we just regret that we didn't do this thing, or we just say we missed something. Maybe some of us are complaining about our lives. But then, Lord, would you please speak to our hearts? Your perfect timing is coming. Your divine plan is here right now. The Lord Jesus Christ. As we face 2013 tomorrow and day after tomorrow, would you please be with us so that every day we just go and step forward in faith Not just backing down, not just waiting, but just step forward in faith with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and be with us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.